This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Oh, it is draft week. It's a busy week around here. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. We got Dustin on the updates this morning.
Going to see who we're going to bring to live in Detroit for a little while.
How about that? Thursday. We got a busy week because we also have the Tigers, who took 3 of 4 over the weekend against the Royals. Your first place Tigers. They got the Padres in town this week, another first place team. Oh, and at the same time, we've got this NBA playoffs thing going on. Pistons drop game one on Saturday night. John, I want to start with that. Start with that, because losing a road game one in any series, not a big deal. But losing that way can be.
It was as disappointing as you could be, because it was, what was it, an 8-point lead, nine-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and it really felt like, okay.
Got him.
I didn't necessarily feel got him.
But got him right where you want him.
Right, certainly. But I felt like it was, in the first half, it was a feeling out process. And they were relying heavily on those guys that had playoff experience. And it was Tobias Harris. It was Malik Beasley. It was Hardaway Jr. And in the third, it felt like something flipped for Cade. And Dennis Schroeder. I thought he played well as well. And in the third, it just felt like, okay, here we go. And then in the fourth, not at all. It just dissipated instantly.
Well, from even the opening inbound, they get a 5-second call. Are you freaking kidding me, boys? Come on now. And then a shot clock violation the next possession. Seven or eight turnovers in a fourth quarter where they looked every bit the inexperienced team people made them out to be. That's what bothered me, is for a night it reinforced all the assumptions that, yeah, the Pistons are a cute story, but they're not going to be able to hold up when the playoffs hit. And that fourth quarter reinforced all of it, at least for a night. I think a subplot, Isaiah Stewart not playing the final 9 minutes of that game, this injury, it's a big deal. Because he is one of these tough guys who can go toe-to-toe with the Knicks around the paint. Jalen Duren was a minus 20, and the Pistons gave up 40 fourth-quarter points. Like, John, losing, fine. Losing that way, if I was overreact Jim today, I'd plan the funeral. I want to see how they respond tonight, right? This team responded after a terrible season a year ago. They have to respond tonight, and a big part of that's going to be, is Isaiah Stewart 100%.
Yeah, and it's...
Or can he play?
So, it's hard to compare Jalen Brunson and Isaiah Stewart, because they're completely different players and a different level of player. But Jalen Brunson, all game long, was playing hurt. And it felt like he still played 40 minutes, still scored 35 points. He understands, and this is where you start thinking about the playoff experience. He understands this is, like, if you lose, this is all terminal. Not just one game, but he has the ability to go out there and still be productive. And I don't know if he's milking it for the New York media or not.
Well, that's part of his game.
That's part of it. However, I don't think he's 100%. And so he goes out there and does what he does. 40 minutes, 35 points. Yeah. That's a guy that understands what's at stake. And I know in their head, they understand what's at stake. But Isaiah Stewart still limping around, still not able to, you know, different injuries, different players. I'm not questioning his toughness.
That's
not
what I'm doing. Out.
Yes, that's not what I'm talking about. But it's a guy that finds a way to get it done versus a guy that wasn't able to find that way or part of that way. Because it, what you need is Cade Cunningham to be better for the entirety of that game. And you need all those guys that we had talked about that didn't have playoff experience. It's Asar Thompson. It's, you know, Ron Holland second. Like, he only played 6 minutes. And it's those guys that have to be better for this team to win.
Yeah, with Isaiah Stewart, Bickerstaff said after the game, they were helping saving him from himself a little bit because he was trying to put it all on the line and clearly wasn't 100%. But it meant more Jalen Duren, who in 25 minutes was a minus 20. He picked up some dumb fouls in the game. His third one was a stupid foul. Asar Thompson picked up a couple dumb fouls early. Again, these are guys who have never been in the postseason. It was immaturity. That, to me, was the story of that game, is immaturity. Now, if that's the story of this series, it'll be 4 or 5 and we'll be done. But I want to see how they respond. Now, you put a lot on Cade Cunningham. You said he's got to be better.
Yeah, was it 5 points in the first half? Like that, you can't have a half like that if you're supposed to be the star of the show.
So they were sending a lot at him, and he spoke on that they threw bodies at him. And for a while, he was just going, oh, okay, cool, I'll dump it to Tobias. Yeah. We'll kick over one more. We'll get the shot we want. We'll be fine. And he finished with 12 assists. The problem is in that fourth quarter, he got all discombobulated. He's got to settle the team down. We're giving up 21-0. Someone's got to go get a bucket to stop this run. And you've got the size. You can demand the mismatch. You've got to go take it. And if they're going to double you, you have to make them pay. And some of that is if Beasley hits one of those threes, maybe it changes a little bit of that because it stops the bleeding. But, John, it was a collapse from a young team. So you're left wondering, is this just the tone of the series? And I wonder if there's any panic from Pistons fans today. Did this change your view of the series as we sit today? 248-539-9797.
It doesn't change my view at this point.
You still think they're winning?
I still think they're winning. I still think they win in six. Now, obviously, there's going to have to be some moments. And it's going to have to be, I expect that they're going to be up at times tonight. And they may be up going into the fourth quarter. Where's the killer instinct? Where is that ability for Cade Cunningham to say, hey, thank you for making this exciting, but I'm going to make a bucket. I'm going to do something. It doesn't have to. He doesn't always have to be the point scorer, but he's got to do something.
Initiate it.
At the beginning of the fourth quarter, to say, no, this is our game, and thank you for participating. Thank you for making game one and for, you know, bringing up all the questions about our youth and our inexperience, but now all of a sudden, this is how it's going to be moving forward. Coming back to Detroit.
I said Pistons in seven. That meant they were going to lose 3 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. In your case, the Pistons were going to lose at least 2 games.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So losing, not an issue.
It's how they lost.
It's how they lost that at least causes me to pause and go, okay, we got to regroup. This can't be who you are because this series won't go very far.
There were a lot of people I talked to yesterday that thought, oh man, we're not going to get a win.
Really?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people that hit the panic button because it was a team in the Knicks that just flipped the switch, turned it on in the fourth quarter, and it was a team that they found ways to play defense, they found ways to do all they had to do to win that game, but especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, they went on a 21-0 run.
They scored 40 fourth quarter points.
And that is where I talk about Cade having to say, you know what, if they go on an 11-0 run, okay, I need to do something that stops this momentum. And I can't rely on Malik Beasley, who I know missed a couple, but he was still 50% behind the arc.
Yeah. The question will be, like, can he grow up in this series, or is this the series that sets him up? Is this a setup series?
Oh, he could certainly grow up in this series.
Well, no,
he
can I'm learn not saying he from... can't, but I'm saying, like, will he becomes the central question now, right? Because if he comes out and has one of those performances he had in the regular season at the Garden, and the Pistons steal game two, take the series home court back to Detroit, everything changes dramatically.
I think tonight's a game where Cade Cunningham looks like he's in complete control of the game. He looks like it's going to be one of those 35, you know, point performances. Probably, I mean, maybe it's a double-double, right? Where he gets another 10 assists along with those 35 points. He is the guy. He's the engine that has to be the driver for the Pistons team. I'm not saying anything that's rocket science there, but it's in the playoffs. And it's moments where New York starts to gain some momentum and he creates a shot for himself or he creates something easy for a teammate that stops that momentum.
Wonder where you're at, because it's entirely possible you as a Pistons fan woke up and said, oh, hey, this team's in the playoffs. I'm going to give them a chance. Saw that fourth quarter and think, they got too much growing up to do. They won't win the series. 248-539-9797. Or you say, you know what? I got to see how they look tonight. I got to see how Beef Stew is health-wise. I got to see. Also, here's the thing. Let's say they lose tonight. Can they win two in a row at home? What's the old cliche? Series doesn't start until the home team loses?
Yeah.
Do you think tonight's a must win?
Oh, I do. Yes. Well, I don't think they can go down 2-0.
Why not? Why can't you go win the two home games?
You certainly can.
Especially, let's say Stewart doesn't go tonight, but is back for game three and you win games three and four.
That's not until Thursday. It's basically a week rest.
Right. I don't think it's a must win.
I think for these young players.
Psyche?
Yeah, and their psyche and the fear factor. And I'm not going to call them afraid. That's not what I'm talking about. But you have these internal voices. We all have them no matter what business you're in. If the perception is that you're over your head, and you start playing these scenarios, this is where they have to be mentally tough. You can't play the scenarios in your head of, well, what if we go down, you know, 0-2 coming back? Then it's even more pressure to win that first game, to win Thursday night at the LCA. I just feel like this is, for their psyche, for this team, for the young players, this is a must-win game.
Let us know, 248-539-9797. Later in the hour, the Tigers take 3 of 4 against the Royals. You notice the crowds this weekend. Becoming appointment viewing, listening. We'll get to that. Plus, maybe got lost in the shuffle over the weekend. Dylan Larkin calling out Steve Yzerman.
Oh,
702. Wow. We've got some audio. It's 97.1.
Hey, it's Heather. And if you're like me, you like knowing what to expect, especially when it comes to your phone bill. Well, Verizon's got some big news for your peace of mind. For the first time ever, they're locking in low prices for 3 years. That's right, 3 years guaranteed with my plan. So if you're thinking about making the switch to Verizon, this is for you. You can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's Verizon's best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. And again, that price is locked in for 3 whole years. Because at Verizon, they got your back now and in the future. So go ahead, take one thing off your worry list. Visit your local Verizon store in Detroit and ask about their 3-year price guarantee today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigators Later.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Mark Champions Call, Pistons lose game one Saturday night. We want to know if it changed your view of the series at all. Look, losing on the road, not a big deal. Giving up a 21-0 run, 40-point fourth quarter, looking generally inexperienced and rattled. Yeah, that'll play into some narratives. Ticket text 248-539-9797. Texter says, it's intriguing to see how they'll respond to what happened Saturday. It's so valuable for the experience now and in the years to come. Then also takes a shot at Steve Yzerman and says, but hold on, the Yzerbots will say it doesn't matter if you can't win the championship. Okay, we'll do some hockey later. Ticket texter says, it was one game in one quarter. Why get all dramatic? And this one says, the Lakers lost by 30. You think they're saying, oh, the series is over? The other team's just better? It's one of seven. Settle down. If they win tonight, people are going to say they win the series.
All we wanted was a split, right?
Yep.
It's all how they respond. If they let that affect them, they're done. They're toast mentally. Yeah. I don't expect they will. And I don't think New York showed anything that's too awfully to be afraid of, you know? If anything, this may work against them a little bit. If the Pistons show up and respond. Let me make a comparison. I want to know if you guys agree. Now, remember, I'm cross-referencing sports here, but within reason, felt like I was watching the NFC Championship game against the 49ers on Saturday. Once it snowballed, there was just a series of events. Like, the Gibbs fumble was the five-second call, basically. Like, just Gibbs hadn't fumbled, like, what, once all season or something like that, maybe? It was just a boom, 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 27-0 run, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you could even go to the, I mean, you want to talk about weird stuff. This is in the third quarter, right? That's when Tim Hardaway Jr. had the slam dunk that hits the net and then bounces out, and they actually call it offensive goaltending.
Yeah.
Like, that's the weird thing that happened.
That's the Vildor face mask?
Yeah, you could say that.
I mean, just a weird, odd play.
Like, yeah. And that didn't hit me till this morning. You know, we talked before the show. Well, you hear everybody talk, and I kind of, you guys are bouncing things, and I was like, man, this reminds me of something, and then I finally figured it out.
And I get why, and I'm not going to nitpick it because it's different sports. There's just a finality to the Lions' loss that doesn't exist with Saturday night.
You get another chance
exactly.
In this sport.
Right. Exactly. 248-539-9797. Texter says, despite the loss, I'm still optimistic. We have to figure out how to close games. That last 9 minutes was unacceptable. Other than that, we played the Knicks tough at the Garden, clean up the turnovers, silly fouls, and we win, Glenn in Macomb. John, over the weekend, Saturday, same thing. You had Michigan football in their spring game.
Yeah, and it was not polished. Let's say that. It was not a polished performance. Defensively, they looked good, and we kind of always knew that. Like, they were going to be a good defense team. We saw that against Alabama. Still a lot of work to be done on the offensive line. Talent was split up, but the left tackle position is one that they're going to have to find an answer for. But all eyeballs were on the quarterback position. Bryce Underwood is the first chance to see him, and Jaden Davis. Both, you know, those guys. Who's going to be the starting quarterback? I think we all believe when it comes down to it, it'll probably be Bryce Underwood, but his numbers were less than compelling, you might say. 12 of 26 threw an interception, one touchdown, and Jaden Davis was less than desirable. It was 6 of 17, 75 yards, and two interceptions. They didn't score any points. He's still 17 years old. Still should be finishing his senior year of high school. He's an early enrollee. And there were times where he flashed everything that you want to see, like his mobility, his arm strength. His arm strength is not going to be an issue. It's going to be, now that he has some film, what does he do looking at that film? What does the coaching staff do looking at that film on with keeping everything else out, right? The offensive line, keeping that out of it for right now. How does he get better? Now he has some film to do that. And there's plenty of time to do that. You know, not playing a real game until the end of August, but there's a lot of work to be done on that offensive side. Justice Haynes and Jordan Marshall all look good. Cuzdall looked good. But it's all going to come down to how much improvement will this offensive line have between now and the end of August? Who that starting five is going to be? Do they have any depth? And the quarterback, how is he going to adjust? Bryce Underwood is going to have to find ways to make better decisions. And it, he knew it. Everyone knew it. At times, you could see he just threw the ball up trying to make something happen because there were no – I mean, if he threw an interception like he did at the end of the first half, all right, he's trying to make a play, right? It was receiver and him were not on the same page. So there's a lot of work to be done, but now they have the film to work off of.
Yeah, from the things I read, I wasn't there, and very little is out by design.
Yeah.
Physically, he has all the tools, all the traits.
Yeah.
Quarterback is more than just that. You anticipate him being the week one starter right now?
I do.
Okay.
Just because of all those physical traits and from the way that he works in the building, the way he works at practice, the way he watches film, the way he works in the weight room, I think he is set up to be for success and be very good by his own doing. And now you add in the coaching that he'll get with Chip Lindsey as a quarterback coach, as the offensive coordinator. One thing I did like, he actually threw the ball downfield.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And some of it is, hey, receivers got to get better too.
Mm-hmm. That was a huge storyline last year.
Yeah.
It's hard to evaluate.
Still there.
It's still there. Yeah. All right, let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, Dearborn Heights police are fearing that a missing teen could be the victim of human trafficking. 16-year-old Tasia Keaton was last seen in Dearborn Heights over a month ago. Police believe she was sexually assaulted at least twice after running away from this residential treatment area for teens. And the police there are saying they're working around the clock to try to locate her, but so far they haven't had any leads or tips, which they say is obviously very concerning. So they're hoping maybe somebody could hear this, not literally me, but sees this news, right? And can help them out. Anyone with any information can contact the Dearborn Heights Police Department. Several groping incidents are under investigation in Ann Arbor.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. On Tuesday of last week, police say two different women were groped. Don't know if they're related, but very well could be. The first woman was walking when she was approached by a man who groped her, ran off, and then apparently did it again. And then about 30 minutes later, another woman was groped when she was walking up to her front porch of her home. Not a lot to go on. They do have a description of this man. He's described as a black man, about 20 to 25 years old, 5'8 to 6 feet tall, skinny build, wearing a light-colored jean jacket and a beanie.
So he just runs up to him.
Grabs him and runs
away. And
then
runs off? Like, what? I don't know what people are thinking. Like, what is that?
People are weird. People are messed up. People are crazy. Yes. I mean, we'll never understand them, John. That's the thing.
Yeah.
A new Baltimore woman says that she was driving to work when her windshield was shattered. This is on Friday morning, right around 4:45 a.m., so pretty early in the morning. She was driving down 23 Mile near Card Road in Macomb Township when she says another driver threw a water jug out of their window. And it hit her windshield, shattered it, right? And she was covered in glass, had injuries to her face, to her eyes, covered in liquid, clearly.
Yeah.
She said, you know, somehow she was able to pull over into a subdivision and call 911. But because it was so early and pretty dark outside, she didn't have
a description.
Like much to go off of. She thinks it was a dark colored truck. She's just hoping that somebody might know something. I mean, glad she wasn't
she's
injured more or crashed.
All things considered.
Yes.
Even if it was midday, I wouldn't expect her to be able to identify, that truck or what license plate. You're trying to make sure you don't have glass in your eyes.
Right, that you're able to safely pull over without crashing into anyone or anything. It's pretty crazy. Another sad story. A Troy teen died in a single car crash on I-96 in Ingham County over the weekend. Saturday morning, police responded to reports that a sedan veered off the road into the median and then rolled several times. Two backseat passengers were thrown from that car. Investigators say this 17-year-old from Troy was pronounced dead at the scene. A 22-year-old man who was driving sustained serious injuries. Everyone in the car was from Troy. 20-year-old was also critically injured, but listed in stable condition. And then there was a fourth occupant that was not injured at all. Police do not believe drugs or alcohol played a part in this crash, but they are still investigating. And you may have woke up to this news. The Pope passed away. Pope Francis died on Monday. I mean, our times are different, right? Monday morning at the age of 88 after battling a number of different health issues over the years, but his death does come about a month after he was discharged from the hospital where he was treated for double pneumonia. So
that's
sad news to wake up to, for sure.
Especially on Easter.
Yeah. Well, technically, yes. Well, Easter Monday. He didn't pass away on Easter Sunday.
Yes. Matter of hours.
And he made public appearances on Easter Sunday.
Oh,
so people had just seen him. Yeah.
Switching gears a little bit here. There's a new report that says first dates that involves something active, like hiking or anything that involves movement, really, are more likely to lead to a second date than meeting up with somebody at a bar or a restaurant or for coffee. So active dates, they say, could be like going to a museum.
Yeah.
Somewhere where you could even go get food, but go to like some food trucks. You could go take a cooking class. Anything that's like not just sitting.
Sit-down meal.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're single and you're dating.
Looking to mingle.
And looking to mingle. apparently, the experts say more singles are searching for alcohol-free ways to connect and create a space for authentic conversation and emotional chemistry to grow organically.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
that's more interesting.
Yeah.
Heather with the news.
The thing is, though.
Yeah.
If you take like a cooking class, you're stuck there for
big commitment. Don't do a cooking class for a first date.
No,
that's a terrible idea.
But that's considered.
I don't necessarily think that's a terrible idea.
It's just that you're stuck there. Because if you really aren't into this person and you want to get away, it's like,
yeah, but you're
doing
something. Yeah.
And
there are other people there to deflect,
I guess,
of the attention.
But cooking class is not short.
But a hike, too. You're in the woods for miles.
Yeah, you're by yourself.
Out.
Yeah.
You just hope you're a good runner. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, this date's over. Goodbye. See ya. Heather with the news. Coming up next, the Tigers. 3 of 4. Are you hooked? It's 97.1.
Old friend. Mark Canha.
Yep. Tied it up. Royals would win it in extras. Tigers don't sweep Kansas City, but take 3 of 4 over the weekend. John, the crowds this weekend. Yeah. Just shy of 100,000 people for April for a four-game series. People are buying in. People are paying attention.
It's fun to see Comerica Park as full as it was. And, you know, you get the aerial shot every once in a while. You get this, you know, ball hit down the sidelines. You get to see the fans, the areas where people are sitting. It's so much fun because I think anybody that's been to the ballpark, when you're there and you're watching a bad team, that's bad enough. But you're there and it's empty or it feels empty, it's not a great experience. It's depressing almost. And now you look at it, and the energy comes across the TV. We're going to be there on Wednesday, and I can't wait to go and experience it for ourselves because this is an exciting team to watch. And every time, whether it's Benetti or it's Dan Dickerson, whenever they say the gritty Tigers, like it's exciting because that's what they are. You never feel like they're out of it. And not only are people there, but they're staying till the end because – you never know what the ninth inning brings with this team or extras. But so far, extra innings this year has meant 2 losses.
0-2.
Yeah.
And unlike hockey, they don't get like a loser point or anything. It's just a loss.
Yeah.
Loser point. That's what it is. We talk about last year in the buy-in, like the fan base woke up like, wow, this is great. This is fun. But was it miraculous? Was it real? And the tone coming into the season was
underwhelming.
Yeah, underwhelming. We're going to have to wait and see. We do these judgments, like, are they actually good? Well, what do you think? I think one way of judging if people are buying into this baseball team is, are they spending actual money to buy tickets to go see them? And the answer early is yes. People are hooked on this team. And you've talked about it, John. You'll have them on TV, or if you're doing something else in the house, you've got it on your phone, you're listening. You're hooked. I'm hooked. Some of that comes with what we do.
Sure.
Curious, the person in listener land, like the Tigers, in terms of the interest, are you hooked right now? 248-539-9797.
And if you're wondering, am I hooked? Like, if you're trying to make that determination, I think there's some indicators. One, have you gone to games? And are you staying later? Are you enjoying it? Are you making sure that you listen if you're in the car? Are you making any adjustments to your schedule just because, oh, this is a Scooble start. This is a Job start. Like, there are certain players that you definitely want to see. I think the other indicators are you paying to watch? are you buying the app and paying the subscription? Because this is not, it's not football, right? They're not always going to be on local television. In fact, they rarely are. And so are you paying to watch this team? If you are spending your dollars on tickets or a streaming subscription, to me, that's one, you're buying it. And I think we said this at the end of the year, ownership. If you look out there and it's a winning team and the seats are filled, isn't that what you want as an owner as well? That's more money coming in. It's more excitement around the team. It's more merchandise. It's more of everything that people are willing to pay for when you're watching a fun, exciting team. And my year, the last couple of years, I think I mentioned it last summer, I always do the MLB package because I love watching. It's 1A is football. No shock there. 1B is baseball. I watch baseball and it is on TV. I'm disappointed when I get home or if I'm home for an afternoon and there's not a baseball game on that I can stream. Ideally, it's the Tigers, but I've watched the Cubs over the last couple of days, an amazing series with Colorado. I've been watching so much baseball.
You see Ellie De La Cruz yesterday? That's your guy.
I did, yeah. What a great play behind second base, a diving catch. Yeah.
Airborne.
Follows it up with a home run. I mean, it just, yeah, he's just so fun, so much fun to watch.
You love baseball, but you were doing that because...
I was watching all these other teams because the Tigers were terrible.
Yeah.
They were, and they were, even last year when it started to get exciting because they were winning games and they were making this historic run, they still weren't a pleasurable view because it was all pitching. It was pitching chaos. They were winning games 1-0, 2-1. Now they're doing it with some offense, which is fun. They've done it when they've been good offensively in these games. They've been doing it early in games, first inning, a couple of runs. Their approach at the plate is exciting because they're not swinging at bad pitches. They're you know, forcing pitchers to get deep into counts, and they're aggressive at the plate. They're a fun watch. So, yeah, I'm still watching all these other games, but if the Tigers are on, it is, and I've even found myself doing this when I'm sitting at my desk and I'm working on whether it's show prep and yeah, okay, part of that is the Tigers, but it's other things as well, or I'm working on anything else, I'll have them streaming and be listening to Dan in my ear. This is one of those seasons where it feels like I just don't want to miss a thing because they're good.
Some ticket text on this. That's a good way of looking at it. Are you spending money? Are you making extra time? Are you listening and watching as much as you can right now? Are you hooked on the Tigers? Texture says, good morning, guys. While I haven't gone to any games, I did buy the FanDuel TV package. That's a first. Signed, Nico. Yeah. Says, I wouldn't say I'm hooked, but I'm definitely paying more attention. Damon and Graham Blank. I would say I'm hooked. From Jonesy, he says, I went over to my parents' house for Easter, flipped on the TV to put the hockey game on, but the Tigers were on and I couldn't turn away, so I just kept watching.
Yeah.
Haven't watched more than three innings because if it's not being on regular TV, I don't want to pay for another app. However, I've listened to almost every game with you guys on 97.1 The Ticket and Dan Dickerson.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people that don't want to pay for that subscription to watch on FanDuel, but they are right now buying in and listening. At some point, people are actually going to fork over. It is hard-earned money. And every time you do something new in streaming, it's a commitment, right? Because a lot of people will forget after that 7-day free trial or after the month. They just keep it going. But when people do make that decision, and more people are, that's where you know the fan base is excited. They're rejuvenated. They're energized by what they're seeing on the field.
Texas says, I wouldn't say people are buying in just by going to games. If it was around 100K over 4 days, that means the ballpark is at 60% capacity. Now, hold on. His math is, I would say, mostly right. You got to grade on a curve. This is Easter weekend.
Yeah.
Two of those games were day games. It's April.
Mm-hmm. It's early in the path of 162. Last year at this time, not even close.
Texter says, asking am I hooked after Baez cost us with a lazy error and Carpenter got hurt? I was hooked before yesterday, but then I was reminded of Baez baseball.
I think that's a little short-sighted. if you're going to turn them off because of one play, like, let's not forget that this is a division opponent. It was a four-game series, and they won the series. And it was a game where they could have – they took them into extra innings. Sure, mistakes are – they're not going to win every game.
That's a Javi comment, though. I think that's somebody that's still, oh, Javi shouldn't be here, Javi shouldn't be playing that and all that. You know, if you're going to balance things out, I would say you got the win Saturday that easily could have gone the other way. You got one big hit, and you won the game. Like, the Royals are probably sitting there and like, how do we lose this game? We gave up one pitch hurt us.
Yeah.
You know, so that balances out in baseball. It's hard to sweep. It's hard to win a four or sweep teams in four games. It just is in baseball.
That same mentality plays into this next ticket text. Yesterday's game is the perfect example of the difference between an 85 win and a 90 to 95 win team. The defense is a killer for this team. That throwing error, almost back-to-back plays, flat out can't happen in a one-run game in the eighth. They have a chance to be great, but the defense is going to be an issue. We dwell on the one they lose, and no one ends up adding one when they win.
Right.
They're having way more of the make the play to win games than make the play to lose games. So I feel like they're tracking to be. I mean, John, you're driving the 90-win bus. We said what they got to do. They're doing the stuff they have to do to be a 90-win team.
And it was a Javi moment. But we're still seeing more Javier than we are Javi.
Exactly.
And so that's where I'm looking at this. I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, man, this is who they are. Who they are is the first three games of that series. They find ways to win against a good team. And Kansas City, I know they're 9-14 right now following this series. But if you have a four-game series against a division opponent, you take three of those, and then you start looking at the standings. That's a direct, hey, we're creating some space between us and our opponent. They haven't played Cleveland yet. Cleveland's right there. They got a half-game advantage on Cleveland just simply because they've played one more game and have one more win.
Big week coming up. Padres in town. They're banged up, so are we. We'll get to the, you know, Kerry Carpenter injury update when we have one. Yeah, injuries happen. I mean, that's what this is. Mm-hmm. Are you hooked? 248-539-9797. We'll get some of your thoughts on that. 702, Dylan Larkin with some comments. Maybe you missed him over the weekend. The Red Wings did their postseason locker room clean-out. And he took up a little bit of a shot at Steve Yzerman. We'll play it top of the hour. It's 97.1. You hate going to the dentist, but it doesn't have to be that way. Not with Brightside Dental. There's no judgment. If it's been a while, got a couple cavities sitting in there, it's not a problem with Brightside Dental. Sometimes you haven't been just because life gets in the way. You moved, you started a new job, you got married, you had a kid, whatever the case. If you're in need of a dentist, Brightside Dental is accepting new patients. $35 new patient special covers exams and x-rays. 9 Metro Detroit locations. There's got to be one right around the corner from you. So make an appointment and get back into the routine. 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Talking Tigers this morning. Took 3 of 4 over the weekend against the Kansas City Royals. Got the Padres in town this week. Part of this 10-game homestand. And the question is, are you hooked? Crowd starting to show up at the ballpark, even on a holiday weekend with some day games. People were showing up to the ballpark. And when you go, you watch them win more often than not. John, their record at home this season, get like 2 losses all year.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. Are you hooked? Are you buying in? And that's buying tickets, buying the streaming service, buying gear, buying with your attention and your time, whatever it looks like for you. Are you more hooked on this team than you anticipated? 248-539-9797. And yeah, people like to complain too. People have pointed out the Javi Baez error yesterday.
Yeah, okay, but there's two ways to look at that. One, yeah, Javi did cost him a run, right? Because Bobby Witt Jr. ends up on second base. He eventually scores, and yeah, it cost him a run. And almost cost him another out on the very next play.
Bobbles the ball.
But how about on the flip side? How about the play you're getting from Torque? You'd love to see 2 picks. On both those, could he have scooped the first one? Sure. He's not going to be 100% on those. That ball needs to be chest high within his numbers, and it wasn't. But then on the next one, because Javi bobbles the ball to begin with, puts a little extra juice on it, it was a great pick. So you're getting good play from Torque at the plate and in the field too.
Well, Torque won them the game on Saturday with the 3-run bomb, and he continues to be one of the best bats in the American League. Yeah, thing. Far be it for me to defend Javi, Javier, whatever we're calling him. When he, Riley Green had bases loaded and grounded into a double play the half inning prior to Javi's error. The teams were tied going to extras, and the Tigers couldn't get a single run with the guy on second base. Yeah. Like, sure, Javi made a mistake. It's a factor in why they lost. But for it to be the only thing, no one's brought up Riley Green today. No one's brought up their extra innings. I don't know. I get it. Javi's an easy target. He's played better this year than anybody expected. And the team's played better than anybody's expected. You guys know me. I love to complain. I'm not complaining about this baseball team.
No, but it's... Okay, we saw a couple of games with Riley Green where we're like, oh, okay, we're back. And then, you know, over the weekend, he was over.
Some ticket texters. Says, nope, I'm not paying. If the games aren't broadcast over the air, I'm not watching. The Lions are the only local team I see on TV.
Okay.
All right, we got the radio for you.
You're missing out.
Good morning, fellas. Nick in a truck here. I'm not spending any money on apps or TV, but what I am doing is having the Odyssey app. I enjoy Dan Dickerson. I'm fully invested. I can't turn away. It's on when I'm at the gym in my headphones. I love it. I'm locked in.
I'm not going to argue that point at all. Dan does such a great job on the games. And it's so I think people are buying in just even by listening to the app more.
Is it weird to work out with the Tigers in your ears? No, like, I think you want, like, pump-up stuff. You'd want, like, hype stuff. You listen to, like, play-by-play when you work out?
All the time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My kids call me weird, so I know I'm weird. But I will frequently, more often than not, will be listening to a game when I work out, even if it's not a game that is currently being broadcast. I listen to a lot of our calls. That's when I do some of my quote-unquote film review when I'm working out. I would much rather listen to a game.
Than like music?
Oh, yeah.
Where do you draw the line? Would you listen to like an audiobook while you work out?
Oh, I do all the time, yeah. In fact, I almost never work out to music.
Really?
Well, the way I've worked out has changed, so I don't either because I'm typically now in the basement and I'm not putting in headphones, but yeah.
So
yeah.
Blare it in the basement?
No, I don't listen to anything. I work out.
Silence?
Yes.
That might be the worst way to say it.
That's like serial killer behavior.
I don't know. I just don't grab them on my way downstairs. I don't use anything. Listening to a game is not weird.
All the thoughts in my head.
I know.
Alone with those thoughts.
All the excuses, all the reasons why I should stop right now.
Sorry to get us off on that tangent. I'm just curious. Spinoff conversation about it.
You've never listened to a game while you work out?
No. Huh. I don't think I ever have. It just struck me as odd. I'm not trying to be too judgmental.
Not even an audiobook or a podcast?
No, he wants the pump it up music. Oh, yeah.
So what's the go-to pump up music for one Jim Costa?
I know you're going to put me on the spot. I don't have like a playlist or anything. Like if I go to the
like an
gym.
Artist, yeah.
The
yeah.
gym we go to, we'll have like
rap
music playing. I don't pick.
So you're just listening to the music at the gym?
Yeah.
So he's not using headphones. You're not using headphones either?
No.
Oh, that's different than...
Now, if I go for a walk, I'll listen to a podcast or I'll listen to the Tigers. Like, especially when the sun's out, you're walking around. Yeah. I got Dan Dickerson narrating the game. But if I'm working out, if I'm trying to get a sweat, I'm not going to listen to...
Oh, that's sometimes that's the greatest time to actually listen to Dan. Yeah. Is
interesting.
Because it's a 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2.5 hours. And if you're going to get a jog in for 30 to 45 minutes... You can go from the second inning to the fifth inning. By the time you get back, hey, it's exciting. You put it on TV.
I almost feel like this is a spinoff topic. Weirdest places you've listened to Dan Dickerson?
Thanks, Tony.
Anyway, some more ticket texters. I'm absolutely...
this goes to Wojo and Rieger. They had the one caller, the one topic they did. Have you ever had the station on while you're...
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I remember that topic.
Doing the deed.
I'm absolutely hooked. Says I'm only paying for FanDuel to see the Tigers. Haven't had this feeling since 2014. They're back. I love the show. Tigers are so much better than previously expected. However, that was a typical getaway game for them. Their fascination with swinging at the first pitch is stupid. Scuba labored through 20 pitches in the first inning. The first two batters for the Tigers swung at the first pitch, made an easy out. Help your pitcher out.
Yeah, but if it's a strike swing, I'm not a big fan of
automatically
all the batters that get up there and take the first pitch. You're wasting a pitch.
especially because all these pitchers want first pitch strikes.
Yeah.
It's like the data supports it if you get the first pitch strike. So why concede it? This next ticket text is a perfect follow-up. It doesn't matter if they win 100 games. People will pick out the flaws. He says that's Detroit for you. Texters pointing out that the Tigers have lost the final game in just about every series other than the White Sox. People are viewing that as missed opportunities, but overall, there's way more bad than good. That's Chris in Howell.
There's way more good than bad.
There's more good than bad.
Okay, yes. Yes, you read that one wrong.
I read that wrong.
That makes all the difference in the world.
Chris in Howell says more good than bad. Okay, make sure you get that on the record, Chris. Apologies to you. Texter says, I've bought in, but it's not just Javi. I was at the game Saturday. Shortstop is overall a liability.
Yeah, there are liabilities. There's no question about it. And hopefully we get Vierling back sooner rather than later. We know Meadows isn't going to be back. The earliest he could be back is, what, end of May. So there are some reserves that are on the way. It's going to be a little staggered, but if we can get Vierling back, get his bat in the lineup, get his glove in the on defense, I think this is going to be even more exciting.
I'm listening to you guys right now as I work out. Totally normal thing to do. And Jim listens to the Broadway cast of Cats while working out, John, in Lake Orion.
It kind of feels like that you were going to go that route.
Oh, yeah. Big Broadway musical.
No, it's the Cats thing.
Yeah. Yes. 7:35, we'll get to the Pistons. Is there any panic? Game one, you lose. Okay, but losing that way may be bothering folks. We'll get to that bottom of the hour. Coming up next, Dylan Larkin. Is he calling out the captain? It's 97-1.